At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
To the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies, a wrap-up podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Ali, how are you?
It somehow feels like it's been 100 episodes already, and it's like the first episode. When you're saying it's episode 3, I'm like, wait, really? That's it? And also already?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a season. They're the challenge is happening. People are getting eliminated, and it is certainly the challenge. It's not, I wouldn't call it the best season. I wouldn't call it super exciting, but it is the challenge.
Are you, do we have an update on the ratings?
Yes, I do. It was, I'll get the exact number, but this is now the lowest rated episode. I think they said the lowest rated episode ever.
On the bright side, we continue to climb the charts, baby. So thanks to our listeners for staying with us.
Yep. In the time slot, the very competitive 8 o'clock time slot, it was fifth behind AEW, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, American Horror Story, Tucker Carlson, and then The Challenge. So there we go.
Wait, behind AEW?
AEW wrestling.
Shout out to the great wrestling wrap up.
Yes.
On this network, Matt and Mari. Interesting. I will say, you know, Plainview's suking at me. Beverly Hills is on fire right now, so I don't blame the masses. They're not wrong.
Yeah, no, I'd probably go that route too. Yeah, I don't know. The challenge is in a weird spot. This, you know, the last season was, I thought was really good. Couple seasons before that, I think that'd be good, but this like feels like a really big, just total transition season where they just wanted to like get a total influx of new people, and they're just, let's just do it all in one batch, and then maybe 5, 6, 7 of these people stick, and then we have a whole new crop of people going forward. But it's hard to have that much emotional connection to these people when you don't really know them at all. They really have, most of them have no shot for the early part of the game. It's, you know, all the rookies that are just going in against each other. So we're in a weird spot, both like for the challenge and this season.
I love this season for us because I think I am much higher on this season overall than you seem to be. And I certainly like think this episode wasn't a bad episode. So this is a fun role reversal for us as well.
Yeah, talk me up because, yeah, because I don't know. I'm not feeling it yet. I just like the, you know, this is kind of how I feel about Big Brothers. Like, I don't like when going in, you kind of know where it's going to go and nothing has happened to shift that. And right now, until a rookie team gets power, or maybe in a week or two when all the rookie teams are gone and it's at least rookie vets and something starts to have to happen, then I'll get into it. But right now, I'm just not like fully into it.
I think, and this has nothing to do with the challenge, and it's still a great comparison, but I'm going to use it as a segue to talk for 1 second about Big Brother, which is like Big Brother fans have been waiting for like the hopes of, you know, anyone can be HOH and power can shift week to week for 10 seasons now. You know, like, when's the last time that actually bared fruit? Almost never. Do not at me, Big Brother fans. I truly don't care. But it's a fair comparison. But I don't know. I think I'm getting to know the new people. I think they're doing a really good job of sort of, you know, it's kind of a shame because CT, Kyle, like certain vets are getting completely sidelined. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy we're not seeing the same sort of like big brother power, like concern between Devin and Josh. I actually like that the vets are working together because we don't have to see the same sort of like tired storylines over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I think they're treating, like there are certain people who we'll talk about later when the beep beep happens, but we're getting very, certain people are purple, but we are getting to know the new people and what I think is a digestible quantity. So I'm with them. I'm still with them. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's three episodes for them. So I'm hoping, like, some of them are going to stick. There's so many of them that, and they're paired with veterans. So some of them are going to be here come episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, when eventually the veterans and stuff like that will have to start turning on each other. And then we can, you know, get into it even more. So it will, I hope some of the more enjoyable ones stick and make a name for themselves. I mean, we've lost Kells, who I really liked. I wasn't super into Tasha, but I mean, she made a name for herself after her exit. So kind of wish she stuck around after that. But, you know, we'll see which one of these rookies, pop.
I don't know why I think I'm Guy Fieri, that like I kind of want to do like on Guy's Grocery Games where he sneaks in the 3, 2, 1 go. Like just by the fact that I said beep beep in a sentence, like you should have instantly recounted the results.
I think you have to say it 3 times. It's like Beetlejuice.
Okay. Well, Beetlejuice is famously too scary for me, so I've never seen it. I'm not sure.
So I guess you won't be checking out Candyman then. That also will be making the last movies.
This is now the second time I've mentioned that I saw Suicide Squad, but like I don't love seeing like scary adjacent movies, and by scary adjacent I mean intended for adults. So like Suicide Squad, for example, although that's arguably not intended for adults, it was rated R. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm back. Intended for adults is that you see scary previews. You know where you don't see scary previews? Rom coms. Period pieces, right. Children's movies, like Sonic the Hedgehog. No scary previews. Anyway, the Candyman was previewed. I like was staring at my lap the entire time. I couldn't even watch the preview.
But no scary scene. Then you know, Devin thinking he's the most the hottest commodity in town. He did the same strategy of just wanting to be picked. I think that's just the move now. If you show any sense of confidence and pointing to yourself. Like, that's how you get picked to be a partner on the challenge.
Ooh, a smoother transition we've never had. That was beautiful. Yeah, I don't get it. And again, we both watched the after show. So thanks to people who wrote in and still sent us the votes, because I didn't screen cap it. So it was great to know that we had that on Twitter. Right. And I'm still waiting for like an explanation, but Devin wasn't on this week. I really want to know, like, what can we get one confessional of him explaining why he wants to be picked? Is it just like, a brag situation? Because when CT, spoiler alert, is picked at the end of this episode by his current partner, he's like, suck it, Devin. So is it just that Devin's bragging and the partners are so inconsequential right now to the veterans that it doesn't even matter?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the first time with Michelle, it was like, oh, Michelle seems like a good partner. I actually do want her to pick me. And then when it worked, he was like, you know what? Yeah, let's try it again. Let's see if I can get picked again, because that would be really funny. And then it worked again. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to play this up. I know I'm not the strongest. I know I'm not the biggest guy. But you know what? Everyone wants to pick me. So I'm going to play it up. Devin is, if he is nothing, but he is not humble. So he will play that card as much as he can.
He's not humble. I think he enjoys manipulating women specifically. He enjoys manipulating everyone. But again, having just watched his Are You the One season, it's like he's running the same tired games in the challenge house.
Yeah, but you know what? They're working. I mean, he's one of the stars of the season right now. So for through 3 episodes, a lot of the stuff's working.
Look, if it works is an excuse that I would give to every man who manipulates me and other women, I would be in trouble. Like, oh yeah, well, it worked, so we're fine there.
Fair enough.
Brian Cohen, quote, but it works. Put that on a tote.
Yeah, no, don't do that. That's, I don't want to get canceled.
Let's talk about Ed and Tori. I think being partnered with Ed is the best thing to happen to Tori. I mean, since Kells, but really, like, her likability factor, I know, has just climbed. And I think this team Ted, better off Ted.
Yeah, so this scene was great for Tori. Ed's super likable. I mean, how can you not like just, you know, if you're being around him, I don't know how you don't like smile on that. He just, as Tori says, just exudes that pot of positive energy, which is usually pretty lacking in the challenge. So that's great.
I like pot of Tori energy. He's a little pot of energy.
But Tori was great. And then Tori, anytime Tori is not around Ed, she has, I think, the worst social game the show has like maybe ever seen. I mean, she could not have played this week any worse other than just throwing herself into elimination. It's crazy how bad she has become at this game compared to where she started as like one of the most excitable rookies that the show's had in a long time.
Okay, well, she did one thing right. I just wanted Tori's defense. The outfit she wore to the lair is exactly what you would wear if you were a secret agent, spy, and power. The earrings, like everything was on point. Otherwise, absolutely nothing Tori did this week since being gathered around the bowl of cabbage with Ed. It was all downhill from there for sure. I have 1,000 questions about Tori's game. You want to take them now?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Kyle Picard is offering to give the voted in person who they want in elimination ever worth it? What could Tori have gained by giving Tadja who she wanted? So number one, huge blunder. We're really jumping out of order here, but she goes in. She owes Tadja nothing. She, as far as we can see, has like no relationship with her except that she says she likes her. Tadja later is like, I think Tori's fake as hell. And she's just making an unnecessary enemy here.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely worth doing if you plan on following through with it. If you're looking to, you know, establish a friendship or, you know, build a connection even more or show your loyalty to someone, sure, you ask the person who's going in that was voted in out of your control who you would want, and then go from there if you plan on following through with it. But if you don't, there is no reason why you have to go up to that person. And it's not like Tadja came to Tori and said, I want this person. Tori's like, oh, you know, I'll think about it. I'll do what I can. She created the situation. It's crazy.
Patrick M says, was this episode peak sloppy Tori gameplay, revealing too much at deliberation, wanting to go after the Vets Alliance, running to T and J? Oh, so Jeremiah and Tadja. And so are we on an initial basis with Tadja and Jeremiah?
I thought that was like Josh and who's the T? I don't know.
Big T? Like we call him just Big T. And saying she wants them to stay. Doesn't seem like the best moves in the house. That are still being figured in a house that is still being figured out. I'll add the half measure with Big T. She runs right up to the line of threatening Big T's life in the game, including the speech she makes at the lair. At that point, the damage is done. You're basically giving Big T permission to turn on you later by saying, if I don't come for you, you are going to come for me. What an absolute sloppy half measure.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say
exactly, Sonny. I agree, Sonny, too.
Exactly, I know. It's not even a half measure. It's like a 90% measure. Sonny, shut up!
Oh my god! It's a National Dog Day, no less.
I know. It's a 90% measure because like she is openly campaigning. Shut up!
What? I'm laughing at you.
Oh my god! Oh god! Sonny, please be quiet.
You screaming like that at the dog. Like that Sonny can appreciate that. He's an all-time vote. This is better than the bug.
Oh, God. He's not going to shut up because there's a stupid dog that's probably walking across the hallway to go to the bathroom and he hears a little jiggling and he can't fucking take it.
Oh, my God. Shut up!
Oh, okay. Emily's not even here. She's away for the weekend, so she can't get into control. So, this is the third co-host for the podcast because it's just. Oh my god,
this is my favorite. It's not that bad. I mean, I don't know what it's like on your end, but like,
okay. Oh my god, Tori, she's openly campaigning against Big T in a conversation with Big T. And saying, if I vote you in, this could be what I would do. Oh my god! Okay, I gotta go get him. You, the big Tori's crazy.
All right, I'm gonna keep talking while you handle your dog because we're certainly not cutting this out. This is my favorite part of the podcast in 7 years. What's great is like as we've said many times, Brian like doesn't get rattled. Brian's like the normal level headed person. I'm out here like. Causing shadow bans of like people who can't be on the podcast and they don't even know it. And to see Brian really go off is like the, my highlight of my week.
I love this dog, but he's going to kill me.
Real strong dad energy coming from you.
I know. National Dog Day, too. It's crazy. What can
you do? All right. I have another question. Also, I have to compliment you to be that thrown off by the dog and then come back immediately to the finish the sentence you were saying about Tori without skipping a beat. This is truly incredible. Again, we're not editing this.
That's how bad Tori was. I needed to get the full point across on how preposterous she was this entire episode.
We're not going to edit this, but you made it easy that we could seamlessly edit out the whole part and just sentence to sentence, word to word. No, we'd never be right there. Oh, my God. All right. One more question. This question's for Sunny specifically. Derek Boucher says, how bad is Tori? I like her, but man, her social politics skills are trash. It didn't seem like that in Dirty 30. Here's a hot take from Derek. But was maybe Jordan actually good for her game?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad of a take because I think it's a situation where if you're around someone who is so polarizing, you have to like tone yourself down so much and be like the straight man and let you can't have two polarizing people as a pair. Like that's not going to work. So Jordan took over all of that bad social game and Tori was able to kind of keep herself level. And then when Jordan was gone, she was like, all right, I'm going to take over.
It's like us in podcasting. Like I'm such a hothead and I pop off for the slightest things and you keep your cool. But then Sunny goes out of control right. And then you're the problem.
Exactly.
Shut up. I can't get over that. Oh, my God. I won't recover. Okay. Emily's not even here. She's away for the weekend.
I was like, should I hold Sunny? Do I have to hold him the whole time on podcasting? Could I just let him be free? He's on his bed. He'll be fine. And boom, chaos.
Are you holding him now?
Yes.
Are you on his bed?
No, he's now on the floor. I got him on like his little leash, his long leash, so he can roam. But he's just like, you know, I got him on.
He's on his long leash. Okay, dog owners are hilarious. Anyway, I'm now distracted. I can't come back. Oh, okay. So like, Fessy. To take it off Tori for a minute, I think we both totally agree it was a full botch from her. Another botch from her old lover, and that would have been a botch on my part, because that's gross to say. But Fessy, as predicted by us, completely botches the rollout of, maybe we orchestrated a plan, maybe it was me. Like, don't, Fessy, just shh.
Yeah, he can't help himself. If he does anything that seems semi competent strategy wise, he has to, you know, stand on the rooftops and shout it. He can't handle himself. Same with Josh. They're both cut from the same cloth. If they do anything that can be thought of as strategic in a positive sense, they have to make sure it's known, and that takes away the positivity from it.
He also like brags to the exact wrong person, right? And credit to Big, not just a lack of credit to Fessy, but credit to Big T, who manipulates him and pumps in for information expertly. But she's noticing she was cut out of a big vet plan. So not only should Fessy keep his mouth shut about the plan generally, but he's telling it to one of the worst people to tell it to, the person who was like directly cut out of it.
Yeah, rough spot for Big T. She points out she's being cut out from the plans. She's being called out at the nomination. She's really not in a good spot amongst the vets. She should be the one. We've been waiting for someone to like rally the troops for the rookie alliance. If the vets are worried that Big T's doing that, she might as well just do it and try to just play that game, because she's not going to be able to get that far just rolling with the vets.
And I think, like, to the vets' credit, not to turn on Big T, but, you know, you got to call a spade a spade. It's not just that, like, as Corey says, like, no one knows where she stands. She's, like, gets along better socially with the rookies. So what does that mean for, like, her loyalty to the vets? They've also watched last season, right? Or was this filming during it because this was, like, such a crazy timing?
They at least experienced it. Though they saw her how she acted and what she did and how she was able to like get in with people,
right? And like, she played completely both sides just this last season. That's not something you're going to be able to repeat season after season,
right? No, absolutely not. And we got to point that out, that, you know, she's now like Amber B is now gonna be thought of as, you know, a big final threat because of how well she did. This is Big T's focal point. She's gonna be thought of as a big social threat, and unfortunately for her, she doesn't really have the physicality to back up that game, and if she gets tossed into multiple eliminations. So it's kind of a tough spot for her to kind of maneuver her way out of.
Agree. I also think like Big T can afford to just lay low with the vets, and then she will not at all be anyone's priority when the vets turn on each other. So I almost think she's slightly overplaying, although I understand her desire to have agency in the game. Like, right, that's what we love about Big T, is that she doesn't just like coast and count herself out. She considers herself and proves herself to be a real strategic threat in the game. So she's sort of hurting herself by doing too much, but like, we wouldn't want it any other way.
Let's get Big T in power again, like one time this season at least, just so we can re-experience the queen energy that she delivered last season.
And you're saying you wish that at this point Big T would just or should just go with the rally the troops, sort of the Wes energy of rallying the Misfit Island of Misfit Toys alliance. Coryell seems to be the only person even thinking that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we have Ed in a position of power. Says, I don't want to get involved. I'm just going to listen to Tori. I'm going to do whatever she wants. And that's kind of just been the theme of, like, if there's a rookie who gets in power, they're like, I don't want to ruffle any feathers because I see what happens to the other rookies. So I'm just going to kind of slide on by and let the vet make the decision. And there really isn't that rookie leader. Maybe it would have been Kells if he was able to stick around a little bit longer. But there really isn't that person to rally everyone. And I think it's just because they all come from so many different shows, so many different walks of life. It's not like they're all coming in from the same Real World season or the same Mario the One season where at least they have some history. Like, these are complete strangers, so to expect them to all kind of rally together is kind of it's just unlikely.
That's a really good point. I also think we're losing out. This is a symptom of or side effect, I should say, of having the goal be to continue to get invited back onto shows, onto seasons of The Challenge in the future. Because if this was a one-shot deal for $1 million type thing, I think we would be seeing people take bigger swings and try to rally together. Mm-hmm. But your best case scenario is sort of what we called Tori's rookie season, as like one of the best rookie seasons anyone ever had, because she integrated herself into like the bananas fold, and everyone got to know her personality. Was she ever winning that season? No. But she became Tori, who now has these shots to win and can take risks because she'll always be invited back. You see Michaela come in hot. She was someone who we thought could have been the future of the Challenge podcast, if not the Challenge, right. Or at least one of us did. Well, the other one of us picked her correctly in a losing draft. But she came in making moves, and then you're gone in the first week, and then nobody remembers you, and you don't get invited back. And that's a fate worse than losing to veterans picking you off one by one.
Yeah, I think the only fate worse than that would be entering Nelly T's boot camp. I think that would be probably top notch as worst case scenario.
Every season, something makes me want to sing Kanye's workout plan. This was that time. They instead went with Nicki Minaj sampling Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. And I still can't get over the fact that we start off episode one, Nelly and Ashley, seemingly almost as an item. Like, you know, I think they were making out episode one. It seems like they're going to be a couple.
Oh, they were more than making out. They were bumping bunk beds.
There you go. Doing more than that.
And now, there you go.
And now he's on to Berna when, like, if you know Ashley at all, like, I mean, how could he possibly think this is like a smart thing that, like, I don't understand this, that he's openly flirting and into Berna when Ashley's still very much there, very much in the mix. How does he think this is going to end?
This is so classic Nelly T, though. Like, he's like tries to get off on a technicality, which is true. Like, we were just hanging out. We were kicking it, to borrow a Wendellism from Survivor. Exactly. But like we were no labels, so I was a free man. But like the reality is you disrespected her and she has a right to be infuriated. And then you continue to disrespect her by not continuing to not address it. So it's just like I can see the future interviews. I can see the reunion where Nelly T is out here arguing a true set of facts, but missing the point completely.
Yeah, no, that's fully what I expect to happen. And probably some bomb to drop middle of the season where Ashley is on a drunken rampage going at him, and hopefully it doesn't end very poorly, because I don't want, you know, anything to happen to them, but it's just not going to end well. It's just not. And I, for Nelly's game, it would have been so much better for Burner just to go home this week, but that didn't happen.
Ashley had a great Brianism this week when she said, yes. Two stones, one bird. Whatever it is. You,
exactly. I love Ashley even more. Come join the club of messing up phrases. It's the best.
Do you know the actual phrase? Can you correct? Can we play correct the phrase?
It's you kill two birds with one stone.
There you go. Great work.
Not to be confused with the early bird gets the worm. I would feel like I would screw those two up.
If I had a bell, I have.
There you go. I heard that.
I'm using a piece of an Apple Watch band on a wine glass.
Didn't you play this type of game on a New Girl, the Old Guy? You like shook something in a cup and you tried to guess what it was. Am I making that up?
I wish you were. That is something we played Feely Cup on. We played a visual game on an audio medium. Check it out at anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy.
Gotta get stuff.
With the quick Gabo moment here, although I honestly think that I'd prefer to see more Kyle than Gabo for sure. So if we're gonna purple anyone, hope it's Gabo. Gabo says he feels safe with Nani and doesn't think they're gonna like see an elimination. Is that Chekhov safety? Chekhov's Nani? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought that seemed like the type of line that I thought would come back immediately. Especially because I don't know if Gabo fully knows the rules of the season, but it doesn't really matter who your partner is when you can get voted into elimination. So there's also that factor. I guess we'll see if it happens in 2 or 3 weeks, because I don't know how insulated Nani is with everyone else. So she could be one of the first bets kind of cut along the way. So that'll be interesting to see if it plays out.
Now, before we get to the challenge, I don't know how Kyle Picard feels, because he famously only sends you the drinking game results, which is one of my favorite ongoing bits. So maybe this is a drink if you're shipping Michelle and Emmanuel, but
maybe.
Oh, I don't want to come off like some weirdo freak or anything, but it does. It reminds me when we get the confessional of Emmanuel saying, you know, we talk strategy, we kiss, we talk about life. This is like early days of Nam and Lolo. Like, if they're kissing, let's see it on. Let's see the footage. That sounds so gross to say, but you know what I'm saying? Like, show me the tape.
My only thought was, I feel like Michelle definitely had like Netflix in quarantine before the season and watched Uncut Gem, because I don't think I've heard anyone described as an Uncut Gem. So I think she must have watched the movie and the phrase was just in her head. And that's why she said it.
That's amazing. Yeah. I don't love the, like, I'm going to fix him storyline for Michelle, but that's sort of beyond the scope of this podcast.
Right. Longer discussion.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's get to the challenge because we've been pretty down on the challenges so far this season.
Yeah, we got a sea cave recon. Each pair had to jump, cliff dive, sort of jump off.
Wait, I'm sorry. That was the name of this challenge?
Yeah, sea cave recon.
What am I missing? Is that a reference to something cooler than me?
I don't know if it's like a spy. I mean, it's literally kind of what they do, right? They jump into a sea cave and, you know, do a reconnaissance.
Sea cave. I'm thinking of the initials. CK recon. No, I'm no, like,
yeah. SEA.
Sorry. Classic. It's been a long day.
Classic. Was that a homogram? Is that a homogram? Is that what that is? Homophone? What?
It's an Ashley. You're going full Ashley now.
But you had to jump off a cliff and swim through the cave collecting two bombs that are set to detonate at any time. And then you had to put them in their slots to, you know, neutralize them because those bombs are very dangerous.
I thought homogram was like gram, like you hear it. So it's like what it looks like. But now I'm thinking, did I remember it? Because it was homophone and you listen on the phone. Now yeah, I want to know. Now we got to dig into this. Look, sorry, everyone. Skip ahead.
Is that like there, and there?
Homophones.
Like bat and bat.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm also getting that there's like no such thing as a homogram, but so are we both idiots?
I might have combined, as in the classic me sense, combined two of the words into a new word.
Yeah, but I'm going down with your ship here because I said the same thing. So let's look. I'm on Google Images, famously reliable. Homograph.
Google Images.
Because it's like, it just has all these cute charts. Homograph are two or more words spelled the same, but not necessarily pronounced the same and having different meanings. So, for example, bow and bow, or wind and winding road, or bass and bass. Mm-hmm. That was always a frustrating one. So that's homograph, homophone. So maybe that's what I thought, because like you have a phone, you listen. Homophone is break and break. They sound alike, but they're spelled differently, have different meanings. Right? And I write a book, and I'm always right.
So that was C and C.
So then, so that's there, there, and there.
And then what's when it's this? Yeah.
What, when it's the same word that has two different meanings?
Yeah. Is that anything? Is that just English?
Let's see. Same word, different meaning. Google that. There's a chart for that. No.
Oh, that's just English. Okay.
That's just multiple words with multiple meanings.
Which is so crazy because it's like, how many different combination of letters? You can't just come up with a different word. Why does a word have that multiple meanings? That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Thank you to examples.yourdictionary.com. Homonyms.
Homonyms. There you go.
Yeah. So that's spelled the same, sound the same, different meanings, aka making the English language very difficult to learn. All right. So why did we both think that homograms were a thing?
I don't know, because I'm an idiot. And then I brought you down to my level, I guess.
No, that's sorry. Nice of you to say, but we're both here. Every week after week, we'll be here. Just living it up.
At least we didn't have a panic attack and vomit before a challenge. Like,
oh, my God. My guy is killing the segues tonight, baby.
Huey. And then killing it. Has anyone vomited before a challenge and then nearly won? I mean, it would have been better if he won. That would have been a better as anybody. But he did very well.
Now, Huey does not give himself enough credit because if I were scared of dying, I couldn't think of like something that would motivate me to swim quickly less. Like, unless I was being chased by a shark. But even then, I think I would still freeze. But like the logic of I'm so afraid I'm going to die, so I'm in full beast mode athleticism is a wonder.
Yeah, I need that motivation in my everyday life. Just, you know. I hate doing this. I'm going to do it as fast as possible and do it as fast as I possibly can. That's good
Shut
motivation.
Up! I need that on a button, like the shade button or the that was easy button. Brian's screaming, shut up. But yeah, okay. Derek Boucher says, how great is Michelle? Michelle's biggest question mark coming in was her physical game. And not to be too hyperbolic, but she's killed it so far.
Yeah, she's been great. I really hope that she can survive the next couple weeks with all these rookie going at it and then find herself with a good vet pairing. Because, I mean, I feel like she's already starting to make inroads with people. Very likable, of course. I mean, she's clearly good in these challenges. So, as Tori points out, I mean, she's a major, major threat. And, I mean, the vets would be smart to target her within the next week or two because she can sneak by. She's a threat.
It was badass to watch her covered in blood, beast mm-hmm. mode swim. Ed gives her the respect in confessionals, being like, she's motivating me to do better. And they end up losing by half a second or a second or whatever. And then she gives a master class in social gameplay at the deliberation, where Coryell is kind of losing it a little bit, justifiably, mm-hmm. but he's losing it. And she just looks Tatcha square in the face without skipping a beat and is like, I understand you're in a tough position. I get it. No hard feelings. Like, chef's kiss. She does an amazing job at putting like the emotions out of it and just playing a really smart strategic game.
Yeah. Tori needs to go to the Michelle boot camp instead of Nelly T's boot camp. And then Tori will be the player that we all want her to be.
But now that you said you really hope she sticks around.
Yep, she's gone next week.
Na, 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 na. Bye, Michelle. We'll miss you.
Well, I mean, I would say there's probably like, I don't know, 80% chance that her and Coryell are in the elimination next week unless they win based off the structure of this game, unless they somehow win the challenge. I mean, I don't see how they're not the house vote, but hopefully they pull out the win.
I mean, TJ is trying. Every time TJ shows up, he's like, wow, more rookies. Good job, vets. You're doing great.
Yeah, I think that's also an issue I'm having with this season. I do like when, you know, there's a lot of more people safe. I don't like when there's only just the two people that win safe. I think they should all, like, TJ's almost kind of hinting at it, I feel like, where he's like, oh, like this week, these people are safe. I don't know, maybe I'm just reading into it because I want something to change, but I wish there was, you know, top three teams are safe, top four teams are safe, just to give more people opportunities to be safe, especially because there really is no other way to be safe because of, you know, you can vote in individually for the from the whoever the power team is called, the alliance, the agency. So I wish there was an opportunity for people to earn more safety.
Bottom five teams should be the only teams eligible mm-hmm. to be voted in by the house. I will say that until it happens or until we quit the podcast, whichever is first.
Yeah, or bring in the BB roulette wheel.
God help us. I feel like that's probably more likely to happen. Let's talk about Tommy's performance in this challenge. Speaking of
Yeah, poor Tommy.
Goodbye.
He jumps in, gets a concussion. I would imagine he got a concussion when he landed. I don't see where else he would have gotten it, but however he hit the water, hit it in a bad way, and we find out he got a concussion. But, I mean, he powered through the challenge. He lost his pants along the way, did pretty well, but, you know, sucks to see Tommy go out like this.
Yeah, it was crazy. They talked. Tommy was really the major. You watched it also, but for the listeners mm-hmm. maybe didn't watch the aftermath, Tommy was like sort of the main focus of the aftermath. And he was saying like no one knew anything was wrong with him. He did not remember finishing the challenge, which is absolutely unbelievable. And mm-hmm. when he like blacked back in with it naked on the ground, I did love the line. We were all thinking it, right? Like I've less clothes on the challenge than I did on Survivor.
Right.
And he's apologizing to Big T because he thought he crapped out during the challenge and that they didn't finish. So it was like news to him that they won their heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. Were you surprised that he was forced to go home from a concussion? Like, obviously, it's very serious, but like, can you give him a couple days to recover? I don't know what like their concussion protocol is that he has to go. Was this a choice that Tommy was given, and he's like, no, I'm out, and they just didn't want to air it? I didn't think just like one concussion would mean you're just done, you're out.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a concussion and have no effects of any symptoms that Tommy had. And that to me is the concussion where like you don't go to sleep and because you don't want to get into like slip into a coma and like you're okay in a few days. To vomit, have your eyes dilated and black out. I think that's like way more than a concussion that you can just kind of, rest off in a few days. I think what it does reveal is they absolutely should have been wearing helmets for this jump. And maybe that was some of the concern. It's like, whoops, like this was not good.
Especially because they wanted them to like have like cameras on. Like, why wouldn't they attach it to the helmet? Like, that seems like a pretty good spot to have like their GoPros attached. So, yeah, I don't know. Challenge safety again. Challenge, you know, doctors. Challenge. It's a recipe for disaster. Some of the things they do.
Tommy was not the only one to lose his trunks. Caitlin Glancy said, "Allie, have you ever wanted to be on the challenge more than when CT was showing his literal ass?" All this makes me think is just like, wow, the listeners really know me so well.
Yeah. So, interesting season for CT. Been pretty quiet. We kind of mentioned like we were surprised that the vets wanted to have their lines and included him on it. We thought he would be the main target, especially after winning again. It's an interesting spot for CT so far.
He's just so cute. But that's really all that's happening on these seasons so far. All right. So Ed and Tori win. Did that surprise you?
It did, but I mean, we had no context as to how anyone was doing other than like who beat who in each heat. It is crazy, as you pointed out, the two best teams were in the same heat. But other than that, we just had like no idea how anyone was doing other than Tatcha and Jeremiah, obviously DQing and Tatcha trying to kill her partner along the way. But other than that, I mean, you could have told me anyone won who won their heat and I would have believed it.
I mean, the one thing we do know, Brian, is that definitively, according to Devin, Josh was no doubt in third place.
Yes, apparently that is very clear. So we have that to go off.
All right. So with Tori in power, Big T calls back to last season where she put up Tori and Nisa. And for any new viewers, new listeners, we told you, they'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah, no flashbacks. So I thought we would get the flashback, but at least we just get the explanation of what is the backstory of Big T going after Nisa and Tori.
What's very interesting is now for the second week in a row, we have Anissa, Tori, and Devin meeting up to sort of strategize on behalf of the vets. Now, I don't know if this is just because Anissa is in power, now Tori's in power, and they're always each other's number one, and Devin just comes to them, or if this will continue to be a core three brain trust moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would think so. I mean, obviously, Tori and Anissa would stick together, and then it seems like Devin and Tori have. I mean, obviously, they're cut from the same Mario the One cloth, so maybe they've kind of developed a good rapport over the years. I mean, we haven't really seen it before this season, but it does seem like that is, you know, that they have the big brother core, and it seems like this is the other core leading the veteran alliance.
I think Devin is an opportunist, and that's why he's coming to them, but I would like to see them. I have enjoyed their strategy sessions. I think it gives us a nice idea of where the thought process is. Not that it actually played out this way this episode, but so like Tori pitches this, it's 14-14, which we get this a lot in Survivor, right? Where the majority alliance, or they'll be, you know, can't hold themselves together long enough to get down to like the right amount of numbers before they turn on themselves. Tori is saying like, oh, we're in equal votes, so we can control the rookie votes and we can turn on each other now and send Big T in for spite. Stuart points out that there were actually 30 people left in the game. So I don't know if Tori's like leaving out her and Ed and saying 14-14 for like the actual people voting. But
yeah, that's got to be it. Unless there was like purple people in the cast that she's like forgetting because like there's so many new people. She's like, I don't even know who all these new people are. Maybe two people were in the bathroom. I missed them.
But I think that Devin is just so impressive in this scene strategically. I mean, he was a jerk on Are You the One, but he was like got credit for sort of strategizing how to figure out the matches. But he's so right about this that it's like insane for Tori to want to make a move on Big T just for ego. Although, you know, I can relate to wanting to do something like that. And then the way that he communicates that he wants like Emmanuel and Berna to go in, he explains it so strategically and like this is best for everyone in the house. But then he also, in confessional, gives an entertaining and funny answer on why he wants them to go in. So it's just like chef's kiss Devin for me, the scene.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen glimpses of this strategic mind from Devin. Just unfortunately, he's either been like a first boot in some seasons or he just hasn't really been in a position of power. But with the veterans that are on this season, he is in that position of power, that leadership role. And it is very refreshing to see that side of him. And like you said, it's, you know, he can keep his kind of cocky demeanor for the confessionals, but when you're talking game, sometimes you do want to tone that down a little bit. And yeah, he lays out exactly why people like Emmanuel would be a threat, why Berna could be a threat, and talks about the specific reasons, you know, worried about Nelson and Berna as a pair, worried about Emmanuel as a physical player, and then even his connection with Michelle. So yeah, he lays it out very well.
But then we do find out that Tommy has to leave, and Kareem Clark wrote something like, I'm in awe of the power of Ally Lasher's hatred. Like, obviously, Tommy's gotten sort of a beat down for me on this podcast. I thought this was a really strong episode for him, including the aftermath. I think people, like, I gotta listen to Big T. Big T seems to love Tommy, so if Big T likes him, he's okay in my book. And regardless, this is not how you want to see someone leave the game.
No, definitely not. And I think it came across even more on the after show about, unless he was just putting up a front, that he's a fan of the show. He loves the show. He really appreciated being there. I think he probably knows it's unlikely he's going to get a call back, but I guess you never know. So if this is his one shot, you know, it's obviously a real bummer for him to go out this way, but it seemed like he at least appreciated the ride.
Yeah. Do you think we will see him again?
I don't. I mean, look, there's so many people that they're, you know, obviously with the rookie cast this year that they're going to look to the glon on. So maybe they would try to get some people to come back. But I think there's some rookies that are making more of a name for themselves and would be higher up on the totem pole to come back, unless they really want to make like Survivor a thing and bring back all of them.
I think Michaela did more in her one episode, and that's not just to like hate on Tommy, but I think like in terms of drama in the house and making a having a memorable his exit's pretty memorable, but not really for reasons where you'd want him to come back. Laura Olson asked that about Tommy, but then she also said, I'm wondering who from Survivor would be better choices, not just from millennials versus Gen X, but all the seasons, like Ozzy, for instance, who's a year younger than CT. Wondering if you guys would make a list of the best untapped potential from Survivor. Anyone jump out to you here that they haven't pulled yet?
I mean, it's all timing, right? Like if they were pulling Survivor the days of, you know, someone like Joe, like obviously he probably would have done really well. Ozzy, and she mentioned Ozzy, but maybe Ozzy back in the day. So, I mean, it's really all everyone who would think would be a good challenge threat on Survivor would, you know, pretty much translate, I feel like, to the challenge as being a challenge threat there. So, I mean, it's that type of cast of character.
What about 38-year-old, newly rumored to be newly single, Parvati? How do you like that?
Like, I mean, I'm a Parvati, as big a Parvati stan as you can get. So if you want to bring her back into this world, that would be unbelievable.
I'm shocked. I think for Tommy, like what I am interested in, I think maybe we've talked about this, is sort of like tracking the pivot point. I don't think Tommy crossed the threshold of like definite return. I think really of the three Survivor US people, Michelle probably in this episode, honestly, pivots to like almost guaranteed return in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, yeah, she's really starting to make a name for herself. And if she can even last a few more episodes and have a few more big moments, I mean, even just the way Tori is talking about her in confessionals, how she's like this huge threat, obviously the moment of her gushing blood out of her face. Like, I mean, she's been great.
I think Ed in two episodes has also crossed that line this episode to guarantee invite back. And that's amazing because he was an alternate and he's only had two of the three episodes. And I'm like, this guy's like the number one most likely to come back.
Yeah. I mean, how were Ed and Amber B alternates for the season? Like, what is that decision making process that led to some of the other people that being on the show instead of them? Crazy.
Let's talk about the deliberation. We sort of talked about this a little bit. I think I can't blame Coryell for getting frustrated that his name keeps coming up because he's like the only rookie like really strategizing here and he's just keeps getting dealt a bad hand. But I think him and Michelle are a perfect good cop, bad cop duo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could feel the frustration coming out of him or it's like, you know, why? Well, if the other, like, why does it have to be me? Why why does he have to say a rookie? And I kind of love the fact that Devin was, he's kind of toying with them, right? With that type of question when he asked Tatcha, like, or if not you, then who? And that's really just setting the rookies up to turn on each other, because he knows that they're not organized enough at this point to turn it on a vet. Or if they do, you know, he could even spin that even more in his favor as having that vet be a target later on. So I really love Devin kind of setting the stage for that type of conversation of if not you, then let's toss some other names out there.
Well, then he does the same thing sort of with Big T. What was Devin trying to get to when he was like, this could just be a female elimination, so if you haven't said anything, now's the time to say something?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, just wanting to sound smart and just wanting to sound like he's in the know and understands what might be going on. Yeah, I don't know how that, like, what was changing in that thought process, unless there was like a subtle hint to Tori for that, when the they're gonna make that decision, because for here I don't know what that was really changing.
I don't know why, like, he thinks or wants Big T to draw a line in the sand now and be like, I'm with you vets, so vote in Michelle. Like, I don't know what that would prove to anyone.
No, I don't know. There's nothing. I think it's just, you know, Part of Devin's game is, you know, being smart and strategic, and part of it is also stirring the pot and seeing what might pop out of it. And I feel like this was that.
Well, Big T tries to handle things sort of offline with Tori, and they go and speak next to someone that we used to know his name, but he hasn't really been on the show, so I'm not really sure. But I don't know why Kyle's there. I don't know why. Like, when Big T was like, Kyle's waiting on the balcony, I was like, what? Why is Kyle here?
It is crazy how invisible Kyle's been. He came on strong a little bit in the first episode, but since then, it's a weird, weird edit for Kyle. Hope it picks up later on.
I think he does make the right case here that, like, if you put in Big T, all bets are off with the veteran alliance. Caitlin Glancy says, who do you think will be the first vet to break the vet alliance, and how soon do you think it will happen?
So let's see. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen as long as there's a rookie team. I think if there's a rookie team, they will continually be the house vote. So until it's vet rookie throughout, I don't think it's going to get broken, which I think would be another maybe two episodes. I mean, there's Coryell and Michelle, and I think there's another one. So maybe, and then if you split those two, maybe a couple more episodes, it'll last, and then it'll go from there.
I mean, I think Devin would want to be, in terms, I agree with you, but in terms of who would be the person to break it, if it's broken, I think Devin would relish being the person and would be thinking about it like this. Like, I have to be the one who turns before they turn on me, kind of thing. And I think Big T has a really good reason to turn on Tori. It's just a matter of whether or not she'll be in power at any point. Cause I think she knows she's at the bottom of the totem pole, for the vets. But Tom Palmer, similar wavelength as you. The editors are doing a lot to make it seem like the Vets Alliance will break up. Does this mean they're actually going to stick together until Final 14?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it can't go that long, because at some point, you know, they're going to have to vote in a veteran rookie team as a combo for the House vote. So eventually it will have to happen well before that. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen until they're absolutely forced to at this point.
Now I'm trying to think. No, I was like, is there any logic to Devin wanting to get picked so he's knowing that he's creating a rookie team? Right? Is there something to that? Because I accidentally walk into something that if, let's say, Emmy was partners with Ed, so they split up. And if Emmy broke up a vet team, then it would be a rookie vet.
Because you're always going to take a vet. Like, I mean, I think it, like, whether it's Devin or another, like, the rookie's always going to take a vet, and it's the same situation. So, I mean, like,
well, no, because it's about who you leave, not who you take. The rookie's always going to take a vet, but if they break up a vet team, then
really
the
move is
going.
Yeah, the move for a rookie is to take Kyle or Amanda, because then you get a vet, and then that vet is forced to go to a rookie, and now all of a sudden that makes more vet rookie combo. So it's not, there's not one person hanging out to dry.
Right. So if a, but every rookie understandably sort of is looking out for themselves. But I think if by Devin forcing them to pick him, he's guaranteeing rookie teams.
Yes, he is. But I don't know. I don't know if that's his
thought. I don't know if he's thinking about it, but it's pretty smart.
Could be.
All right. Well, I'm very tired. All right. Let's keep going here. So we already beat down or just down Tori for going to Jeremiah and Tasha. Yep. I did love the scene between Corey, Nelson, and Berna where Corey's like, Nelson might even go into an elimination for you.
I mean, that is the Nelson playbook. That is the Nelly T workout class.
Are you surprised that Berna's on the table? Only because Tasha's certainly not weak by any means. She didn't have the strongest performance in the challenge this week. But she hasn't been a standout as a bad player. But to put in Berna as for Tori to be putting in Berna here or considering putting in Berna was sort of surprising to me because I would give Berna 80% chance of coming back, right? Like, don't you kind of want your person that you're throwing in as the agency to lose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, just add another marker to how atrocious of a game player Tori is. I mean, this is just, I mean, she backed out of a deal with Big D, backed out of a deal with Tasha, and then made an enemy out of Berna. So she was a triple threat this week.
I don't know. But then maybe it's maybe you take the big swings because you're never afraid these people are going to be in power. If she ever gets power, it'll be with CT, and CT's not got your back, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're trying to find things here, and there's probably really nothing to find.
No, but I mean, it does make sense to want to try to split up CT, get CT's partner out of the game. If you think Burn is strong, also if she's limited, that weakens CT as a team. Because if they start going on a run, and it's obviously based off the Burn's decision here, she's going to be pretty loyal to him. And I would imagine CT would probably be, but maybe not. Maybe CT change partners later on, but if Burn approves herself to him, then they might just stick together the whole way through, and then that might be a pretty formidable duo.
Right. All right. So they get to the lair. We get Berna. We get Coryell tossed in, which I was like, no love lost between former partners, Coryell and Tori.
Yeah. Still waiting for teammates to vote separately. Still waiting for that. Someone's going to stand up to their partner. We'll see.
I'm a little bit crediting them for the Coryell vote that they knew that it was just going to be a girls elimination because it had to be. Everyone kind of knew that. Devin threw it out. And they just didn't want to spill any new blood. So we'll have Corey get voted in. He's already steamed at everyone anyway, and then he won't even have to play.
Yep. Were you thinking there was any chance Big T would be sent home?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Different partner, maybe if that was Lauren in that situation before she was already sent home, I think we might have been saying goodbye to her. But given it was Big T, I think they would keep her around.
This elimination, though, was made for Berna.
Yeah, and it was great. You know, so it was called Slipping Up. There was, as TJ described, the two, it was a V-shaped structure and different length poles. You had to build a ladder, kind of a Survivor-esque challenge a little bit. I feel like they've done stuff like that before, and climb up and ring a bell. It didn't seem too complicated at the start, but obviously the poles are very slippery. They don't lock in to the latches as you were building the structure, so they're they fell apart pretty easily, and it was pretty brutal. It was entertaining, though. It was very close back and forth. The editing made it very dramatic. This was by far for me the best part of the episode.
Yeah, I thought Tasha and Berna both did really great. It looked extremely frustrating. Tasha on the aftermath said it was harder than it looked, and Amanda accurately was like, it looked hard. we appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these were I didn't think they were doing anything wrong or stupid or how could they not do it? As they continually fell off, it became very clear that this was a very difficult challenge.
What do you think the original challenge would have been if it was a duo that they both are putting it together at the same time?
Yeah, I think they probably would have had to climb up together would be my guess. Because based off how long this took, I don't think they can then do, a men's seed, a women's seed, and then a tiebreaker. I mean, they would that theoretically would have been out there for 3 hours. So I think they probably would have had to climb up together.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I spent most of the challenge trying to figure out if there's any world that Big T and CT would end up together. But they wouldn't have been the case.
No, not.
Well, if Berna had picked Jeremiah.
Well, yeah, if Berna had won and picked a different partner, then, yeah, doesn't CT go to Big T, or am I forgetting?
No, so if... So Berna picks Jeremiah, BT and CT get put together. Berna picks Devin, the people who were left. So is it Jeremiah and Big T? No, okay, you're right. I think then Big T was left, quote unquote, and CT was left. So they would have been together. You'd think for how much time I claim to have spent trying to figure it out, I would have come to the right answer.
Yeah, I think so. Unless my brain is my brain might be off too. So I'm sure that's wrong, but I think that's right.
Well, I'm going to blame our brains being off on Nelson. Caitlin says, "Is there anything more horrifying than Nelson beckoning Berna to come to Daddy's bed with the creepiest look on his face?"
Yeah, look, this is the risk of being a Nelson stan. Sometimes these things happen. It's not a good look. You have to quickly forget about it and move on. Because yeah, it was absolutely horrifying. It's straight out of, you know, put that in the Candyman. That could fit right in. It's, you know, just you just can't have it. This is the ups and downs of being a Nelson stan. We're on a downward trend right here. But you know, we're gonna pick it back up next week.
Yeah, that was a confessional fit for an adult movie preview. And adult has a different meaning than when we originally were talking about. Yeah.
No, it's just horrifying. I the zoom in will put it over the top. It was bad all around.
It was the lingering fingers for me. He's doing like the come hither and he like doesn't stop even after he stops talking. Ooh.
Would the fedora have salvaged it?
it would have been something. You know what? I'd be willing to watch it again with the fedora to at least assess. I would be willing to go through it again.
Yeah.
Salvaged it. Berna wins. I thought her and Tasha had such a sweet moment where Berna was saying, "Nigeria is proud. Be proud, Nigeria. I will fight for you." And then we get Tasha's bid to return, which was a strong bid to return.
Yeah, she just absolutely called out Tori for being fake. I don't know if everyone, it didn't seem like, I think when she was telling everyone this, they were hearing it for the first time that, you know, she was asked, she came to her and asked Tasha who she wanted, didn't live up to it, backed out of a deal that she created on her own and just absolutely called Tori out. Didn't let her defend herself because, you know, she's going to have the rest of the season to defend herself. So she's like, screw it. You're not going to get a word out here. So this is my time to rip you to shreds and I'm going to do it.
And makes Tori look extremely hypocritical because, like, if you're trying to build relationships with vets in case they come back in the house and you're getting mad at Big T for building relationships, not vets, rookies, and Big T's also doing the same thing and you're calling her out for that, doesn't look great. But if I'm directing, I feel like we've done this a lot with Fessy or Josh, I'm giving advice to Tori, not that it's a scripted show, but if it were and I'm the director, I'm cutting here and I'm saying, Tori, instead of the reaction you're giving of fake surprise, stunned and disbelief at what Tasha is saying, even though she's spitting straight facts, why don't you stand confidently, solemnly, and give no reaction? Look strong. Look unbothered. To look like, oh, me? Like, it's so fake and it just emphasizes the point. Just take your lumps and be like, yeah, I did. I played you. Kind of like Josh and Fessy last week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally agree. Giving into like this, especially after you tried to yell back once and then twice and were shot down, just continually to do it just makes it even worse. Continually. So yeah, I mean, she did not handle this well. She really didn't have anyone like defending her in the crowd either. She was kind of on her own. It'll be interesting to see how everyone reacts to this coming back to the house.
It's also a real punching down thing. Like, Tori, you won. Like, you're in the power seat. She's going home. You're a vet who's going to be returning every season. Her challenge life hangs in the balance. Just be quiet and let her have her moment. It's not actually about you. Just let yourself sort of like be attacked in that moment.
Yep. Absolutely. Totally agree.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Then we learn a very convenient and shockingly well, like appropriate for the situation, Turkish saying. In Turkey, if you start your way with one person and you change it with the people, you will never find the final.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a real phrase from, but I would imagine it in Turkish. It probably is sounds better then, because that's a very perfect phrase for the challenge. It kind of fits, but I wonder what it's, you know, sounds like in Turkish.
How do you think Big T and Jeremiah will fare? Is it an upgrade from Tommy, a downgrade, or a cross way?
Do you think Big T is going to remember his name, or is this going to be a Jason, Jeremy, whatever the person's name was, situation from last season?
We'll see. She did get a 3-episode head start on learning the name.
Right. That is a good start. Oh, rooting for Jeremiah. Hopefully Big T doesn't try to drown him in the water.
I would say this is a neutral to half a step down, if only because I think physically, the Jeremiah was really quick in the last challenge, but I think physically Tommy was strong. Mm-hmm. So physically probably nets out. I think Tommy probably has a better social game from what we've seen, but we'll, and he mm-hmm. was connected to Michelle, but Big T doesn't need to ride on the backs of her partner's social game.
No, but she might need to ride on the back of someone's physical game. So hopefully Jeremiah delivers that for her.
All right, anything else from the coming out of the aftermath that we didn't touch on?
The only other thing was Tasha brought up during the first challenge. I didn't really understand it, but she said basically when they were smashing the blocks, Tori told her to help her break open the blocks. And she thought like there were a pair of three. So from there, Tasha's never really trusted Tori because she basically tricked her into helping her in the opening challenge. So that was, I didn't fully understand it, but she gave that backstory as well.
Yeah. Tasha claims there was an Albert drop your sack situation. And she was like, you're on our team. I didn't understand that either, but I believe her. It was sort of confusing. Sure. As far as the votes, I think a lot of people are burning votes on themselves, which is shouldn't be allowed. You should not be allowed to vote for yourself.
It also doesn't make any sense because the votes aren't revealed unless they're afraid all of a sudden the votes are going to be revealed. Especially for like Big T voted for herself. And I mean, look, like the chances of Big T like getting the votes was probably like 0.0001%. But I mean, her name was floated out there. So it is crazy for her to give herself one of the votes. Just toss it on literally anyone else. I don't understand people voting on for themselves.
Yeah, it's annoying. I think the only reveal is that the people next to you can see, but Berna and Big T both voted for Big T and Tommy. Esther and Tasha voted for Michelle and Corey. Fessy voted for his team, Esther and Fessy. Huey and Logan voted for Huey's team, Ashley and Huey. Jeremiah voted for Anissa and Logan. Priscilla voted for Amber and Josh. Who cares? All burn votes. I'm looking to see that, you know, to what you were saying earlier, like there's no even like attempt to just get votes on the same, like a second person. So
yeah, none.
And Big T voting for herself probably shows that that was like never even really going to happen. Or at least she would have been Tori's person. It wouldn't have been her as the house vote.
Sure. Sure. It just, I mean, look, it's not, but if this isn't a season where, you know, the person voted in can only vote for the people that voted for them and they're not, you know, publicly doing the votes, like, unless they're just so afraid of like all of a sudden the votes being public, or it's kind of like, I think this was last season, right? Where the power team secretly got to see the votes. So maybe they think that's happening. But I don't know. Right now, it really doesn't make sense based off everything that we know.
All right, let's do a little social meds.
Let's do it.
Thanks to digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth. She says, I don't know who this is about, but T though, Devin said, ex cast members stay embarrassing themselves. My guess would be that would be about Polly.
Yeah, that would be my assumption as well. That was a wild situation.
Polly posted some crazy like anti-vax psychosis that we will not spread wider, but
just the most preposterous analogy I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Davey from Survivor says, MTV, Megan Elizabeth really doing the most here, getting everyone, people not even on the show. MTV always understands the assignment, SMH, like they are self-promoting Nelson's boot camp for him. LOL. That's how you plug your employees, cough, cough, CBS.
Davey's a big challenge tweeter. I don't know if like how well he would do on the show, but the challenge should get him on board in some capacity, maybe co-hosting some of the after shows or something. But he's a big fan of the show.
This is pretty funny. I was about to say why they didn't give Tommy a confessional after streaking, dot, 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 and then nauseous emoji, vom emoji, vom emoji, vom emoji, oh, dot, 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 queasy emoji. Now, can you identify, Brian, the distinctions between what I called nausea emoji, queasy emoji, and vom emoji?
All right, well, vom is the one with, like, you know, the vomit coming out of the emoji guy's mouth.
Correct. I'll slap the Apple Watch again.
Right, so it was what? Queasy and nauseous?
Nauseous and queasy.
Queasy's got to be when he's just, the face is green, right?
You know, this was just my gut react. I could go either way. I said that nauseous was the green.
The green guy? So then what would be the other one?
Queasy's the guy whose mouth is a squiggle and his eyebrows are sweaty. And he's like, I'm queasy. Yeah.
That reminds me. Did you play Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yes, yes, I know, yeah, exactly.
It always reminds me of that guy after you do like a roller coaster with like 17 loops, then they come out and start vomiting.
He's holding their mouth with the cheeks, like looking for the garbage. You don't have enough garbage cans; they're full. Get the cleaning staff.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my god! Also, the queasy face could double as Brian's face as he sees Sunny. I almost said Snoopy. Sunny about to start barking.
Yeah, yeah. But he sits up and he gets his little whoop. We go, oh boy, here it comes.
Corey said, "Seeing CT's ass twice in one day. I'm glad I signed up to do the challenge." Me too.
Yeah, I guess Corey's happy CT got the call back instead of staying home.
Oh, the other thing to note is that apparently, and Tori wasn't on the after show, Ed was, they said that Tori, like, openly was trying to hook up with Ed and was into Ed. Mm-hmm. Amanda was saying that. Ed was like, I don't know, we were just eating cabbage. Like, it must be my accent.
Right.
Not that accent.
And we know, we've always said Devin's been great as the host of these shows, but, I mean, she's just phenomenal. Like, her rapport with the cast members, her quips, her jokes, she had a very funny line when Ed was like, oh, yeah, just my Philly accent is what must draw them to them. And she's like, yeah, I don't think anyone's ever said that. But it was just, she's just, like, so quick and funny, and she's just fantastic. I don't know why she doesn't do the actual reunions. It makes no sense. But she really has just developed into just a phenomenal host.
I totally agree. Is there any person out there in the world who would not be tuning in to the challenge reunion, but for a mid-tier athlete hosting the reunion? You know what I mean? Like, who's like, I've never seen this show, but you know what's going to get my eyeballs on the reunion? A football player hosting it.
Right.
Here I come.
And look, if they want to do that, just make, like, why is Maria Menounos doing the actual hosting? Let it be Devin and, you know, Greg Olson or whatever new tight end they want to have be the co-host. Like, just let Devin drive the ship and let the other, you know, find someone else to be the co-host. It makes no sense.
And now I'm driving the bus. Okay. So Corey said, Tori spent more time trying to get to know Ed as her partner in 5 minutes than she ever spent trying to get to know me as hers. LMAO. There's never been an LMAO that read as you're laughing less than that one. Amanda said that's because she said she wanted to F him despite him having a GF back at home. Queasy emoji.
Amanda just gives no crap and it's so fun. She just lets it absolutely rip.
All right. Banana said, everyone had better leave my Big T alone. Don't make me come out of semi-retirement and regulate. Grandpa, old man emoji. Right, on my screen, it just looked like a regular guy. So I was like, that's confusing. Old man emoji, fist emoji. Already talking about coming back. He's been gone for 15 seconds.
Mm. Have you checked out his podcast at all?
No, that's more of a you thing.
Yeah, I listened to the first one. We had Bill Simmons on with him, so I listened to that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, this has big, like, hold me back energy, and, like, no one's holding you back. Don't make me come out of retirement, semi-retirement. I never said retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But look, when Bananas decides to come back, I'm not going to scoff about it. I'm not going to give him shit about it. Come on back.
No. Yeah. Leroy, we give you a full farewell. Come on back. No, we don't care. Come on back.
Tasha said, apparently only Ashley Brooke cheered for me. Eyes emoji, surrounded by love emoji.
Yeah, that was also very funny during the elimination. Nelson and Ashley openly rooting for different people. Very, very funny scene.
In this year, I hear Nelson screaming like a love-struck alien. And in this year, like, I'm not even doing a version, I'm just like a creepy wizard. And in this year, uh-huh. I see Ashley as like a witch. Beep, beep.
There we go.
Here come the DDs.
All right. For this week, I pulled up the wrong thread. I had a Kyle Bacard's thing going for us, but we'll.
Oh, that makes more sense. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to that. Right, so we had 13 drinks for the week, from one time for eating, obviously during the cabbage date. Seven times the Vet Alliance was mentioned. Four times spy music was used. And the answer to your previous question, drink for shipping Emmanuel and Michelle as a couple.
All right. Good to know where he stands.
So there you go. Do you have something to add for this week?
I almost said beep beep again.
there it is.
I think anytime there is an partnership disagreement, two partners arguing above a conversation. So if they can agree on who to send in, it gets a little hot. They're fighting after a challenge. This was your fault. Potentially, hopefully, one wants to stick and one wants to twist at the lair. Interpartner disagreement.
I like it.
Or is that intra? Is that intra partner?
I think it's intra, right?
Yeah,
intra
yeah.
would be teams, like a different team fighting.
Yeah, my bad. I caught it though. Don't ask me.
This is a big grammar episode by us. We're really digging deep. For mine, I'm gonna add anytime you have blurred body parts, blurred images on the screen.
Well, wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm. Could be in any context. Doesn't need to be could be anywhere. So I got those, and now wanna lower for the third time for the Beetlejuice?
No.
All right, for this week, for the points for yourself, you lost the point, obviously, for Berna winning the elimination, but no confessionals for Amber B and Jeremiah. Although there are some questions about, so there's points here for Priscilla and Jeremiah not having a confessional, but word on the street is they did. So that might need to be under review. But for now,
look,
the
we go by Kate, yeah, right now, Matt, and Stuart. So, mm-hmm. and we don't have any expectation that they go back and audit their findings. So,
nope. Yeah, Ernst & Young's not coming to their household to knock these things down. If this is what they have, if they want to adjust it for next week, well, we'll play up the scores.
And if Scally and Matt want to listen to other scoring, you're welcome to do that.
Right. Exactly. So between Berna losing a point, Amber B and Jeremiah gaining you a point, you are at for the season a total of 0 points. Bettina and Fessy also had no confessionals. So Brian Scally is now back up to 0 points. Tommy got 2 points for Matt for an unconfessional elimination. And obviously, as I just mentioned, Priscilla got a point for the no confessionals. Now he's at a total of 15 points for the season. I gained 3 points for Tasha's elimination, and amazingly, Josh didn't have a confessional. Never thought that would happen. So I am at 13 for the season. So right now, Matt and Skylar are winning 15-13.
Look, it's a long season. Stuart pointed out that I famously say I pick losers, but I keep picking like the people who win the elimination. Look, yep. I would love for my tides to be turning on picking losers in my life. So, I'm really winning either way.
Yep. So right now you have your full squad. Scally has his full squad. Matt lost Tracy and Kells, and I have lost Michaela, Renan, and Tasha.
Toot toot. Beep, beep. I wish we could play that under the whole time that you're saying it. Anyway. Is that it? Oh, no.
Was it the Rugrats in Paris movie? Did they have that song as a sequence in that movie? Pretty sure.
You think? Oh, I could tell you. You would be right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the soundtrack besides the Maya song.
Hmm.
Okay.
We'll have to do a movie night. Watch Rugrats in Paris. All right. Anything else for this week? I think that's all our segments.
I know what Brian's doing while his wife is out of town this weekend.
It's a big weekend. Big Rugrats marathon. Let's go.
Thank you to our 5-star reviewers. We've really had a jump. We're at 600. 963 ratings. Big numbers. Thank you, everyone, for getting us started on the right foot. Thank you.
WRITERIGHT for those homonyms tracking at home.
Wow, you learned nothing from our, we took 10 minutes into the pod, nothing. But thank you.
Yeah, it was like that was 2.5 hours ago. No, that was, 20 minutes ago.
I forget who I already thanked, but Ash Loves Podcast, Irish Girl 67, KSU 88, and Nick is so sick. Nick is so sick. I go, Nick is so sick. Okay, it's time to end the pod. Thank you guys very much for your reviews. We appreciate them.
Yes, you can leave reviews and subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. We'll follow you
at Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 4. Until then, have a good one.